Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's talk consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development that's located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for asking. And then I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the sixth stage of Kriya Yoga, Dharana, concentration. Dharana is a series of breathing exercises, techniques, and practices that enables one to block out unrelated matter and focusing on the task at hand. Concentration enables one to focus the conscious mind and emit thoughts with the power of intention. This stage is hard work. A series of breathing techniques and exercises, including mantra, the sound, yantra, sight, tantra, taste and touch, designed to work the senses and develop endurance through conscious effort. Listen in as we discuss concentration as an important phase in human development. Swami will introduce the labyrinth as an ancient tool that works with concentration to balance the chakras and expand the conscious mind. So welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and initiate your progressive cycle. So Swami, I was wondering if it would be possible to just briefly recap what the previous stages of Kriya Yoga are in case we have some listeners out there that may have missed some of our other shows. So could you just quickly run through those for us before we talk about Dharana?
Sure. Yoga begins with what they call yama, which are the abstentions. And there's so much more than just abstentions because of what we call brahmacharya, which is, to me, that's the essence of yoga and why it begins with brahmacharya, which is carrier of Brahman. That's your connection to the life force. The niyamas are also a series of exercises, practices, and techniques, and that are referred to as the observances. But they expand your practice into a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. Then there's asana, postures, which are the physical exercises that we talk about. And our approach to asana is that they are a system of exercises that you work with the geometry of your body. You lengthen and strengthen muscles, but you move bones into a position of internal support. Because when your bones are supporting you internally, then the energy moves through your body the way it's supposed to. And so working that relationship between your mind and your body is the third stage of yoga. The fourth stage of yoga is what is called pranayama, control of prana. And that's the relationship between your number one life-sustaining force, thought, and your number two life-sustaining force, breath. That there is a direct relationship between these two, and the duration of a breath equals the duration of a thought. So by controlling our breathing, we can control our thinking. And your first four stages of yoga, they will actually break down into what we call practices. And then your last four stages of yoga, which would begin with pratyahara, sense withdrawal, are the same practices, your path of action, your path of knowledge, your path of devotion, but then now they're experienced at a different level of consciousness, a different degree of awareness. These are much more process-oriented, and that's what I think is very different about our approach to yoga is that we really try and focus on this thing called initiation. And not just some secret handshake that one joins the club kind of a thing, but initiation of positive growth of consciousness, which begins with, like I had said, with this brahmacharya, this connection of the individual with the divine. And pratyahara really marks this phase in development where the mind separates from the restrictions that are placed on it through the physical body. And again, it's more exercises and techniques. And then after pratyahara, which is the fifth stage, comes dharana, the sixth stage, which is concentration. And that's what we'll try and focus on today, which is basically more techniques, exercises, practices that are designed to strengthen your psychological organs. So you can basically, like we said in the opening, you block out unrelated matter. You're able to focus on a task at hand. You're able to pinpoint a thought. And that concept of one-pointedness of the mind. The thing that I think is really important to understand about dharana is that it is effortful work. Then your next stage in yoga, which would be the seventh stage, is dhyana, meditation. And meditation really, again, marks this phase in development where the conscious mind actually opens. And it transcends the limits of physical reality. And then your last stage of yoga, which would be samadhi, which is total consciousness, where the mind expands first beyond the limits of the body and into the realms of the mind, the astral body. And then samadhi is when the mind actually expands beyond the limits of the astral body and now has access of the spirit body.
So getting back to dharana, I was reading an article a ways back, and this article was all about why multitasking really is not a good positive thing to undertake and not something to be proud of. And so in a nutshell, this article was stating that when you multitask, you cannot do all your tasks 100%, because if you're having so many things going on at the same time that you cannot really devote the right amount of energy to each particular task to get it to be at 100%. And I thought that was really interesting, because these days it seems that people award themselves with a blue ribbon if, you know, because they said, well, I can multitask really well. It seems to be one of the features that prospective employers look for in candidates to hire, is their ability to multitask. So would this be because, obviously, it might have something to do with this ability to concentrate?
Well, to answer your question, the real variable here that we work with in Kriya Yoga is my level of consciousness, my degree of awareness. Because when we are in the lower realms of our capabilities, until we have achieved what's called pratyahara, then for the most part, the conscious mind is directly related to our senses, which means that the conscious mind is limited to only being able to do one thing at a time. In fact, if you are seeing, you're not hearing, and if you're hearing, you're not seeing, kind of a thing. We switch back and forth. So from that perspective, we do lose quite a bit of sensory input. But with the practice of Kriya Yoga and the opening of the mind, we actually transcend the limits of rational thinking. And then we start to access parts of the mind that actually do many things at once. Like the part of our mind right now that's controlling our heart rate, our blood pressure, our body temperature. When you open the mind, you now are able to access that part of the mind so that when you do undertake what would be considered to be a multitask, you do it from a different level of consciousness and a different degree of awareness. So you're from a different position of performance. And I think that's an important distinction that you would want to make. And that's something, again, that's very different about the way that we present yoga, because I haven't really come across too many yoga programs that really take you to this level of understanding.
Now, some people may have the question, well, if there's 8 stages of yoga, do I have to do them consecutively in order, or is it something that we practice simultaneously?
Yeah, that part is hard to really pinpoint. I think when you really cross-examine the way most people practice yoga is that they miss yama. They miss the whole concept of brahmacharya. They miss the whole concept of this connection to this other source of sustenance. And from that disadvantage, then how you put it together isn't really going to matter. Because what you're trying to do basically is one of the analogies we would use is you're trying to cut a tree down with a chainsaw without starting the saw up. So where would you go? How would you correct this? Is you would have to go right back to the beginning, because it's brahmacharya that starts your yoga practice. It's yoga begins with the union of the individual with the divine. And without a clear understanding of what that's going to look like when you're doing it, then, of course, most of us are still operating from this other source of sustenance. We're still operating from a dimension of reality that's dualistic. And we haven't really initiated this progressive cycle that we're talking about, that if you break down your yoga practice, should be in a very sequential kind of unfolding. That, like you said, I mean, if you follow it according to the letter, then the changes will start to reveal themselves. And what will happen is, and it's hard to say when does pranayama become pratyahara? When does pratyahara become dharana? When does dharana become dhyana? And when does dhyana become samadhi? These are all things that if you really understand the signposts that you're looking for, then you can see how it actually follows that procession.
So if we wanted to undertake some practices that would help us with concentration, dharana, what would be your recommendation? What are some things that we could do to instill that?
Well, again, if you start with a complete yoga program, you're going to have a path of action, which will be things that you can and you must do. And your path of action would be skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, and skillful use of exercise. These would be the things that would start to put in place the development of your psychological organs and prepare you for this separation of the mind from the pattern of the body and from its our attachment to things that are visible and tangible or invisible and tangible, our attachment to duality. And so the thing that you will start to see is what we call the relativity, that if you miss any one of those things, it will undermine the return that you're trying to get on your efforts.
I agree. Well, we're going to pause right at that point so we can hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back.
Private sessions. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started.
603-929-0303 or www.iptransform.com.
Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up the phone lines and see if anybody has any questions for Swami regarding Dharana. So if you have a question, you can ask right now. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to revert to the question I have left on my notes, and that is, I noticed that when we practice the mantra, we do mantra class Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and then we chant the Ishaya Upanishad 108 times, and my question to you is, I find that to be an exercise in concentration, because when you are chanting, sometimes my mind will go off at a tangent. I have to pull it back and concentrate on the words that I'm chanting. So would an exercise like that, like this mantra and the chanting, could we include that as an exercise to practice Dharana?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's what we said in the opening. We use mantra, we use yantra, and we use tantra, that working with that part of the mind that's directly related to the senses is an important thing. You have to strengthen your psychological organs. And just like any muscle in your body, the way that the formula works is if you stress the organism, you nurture it, it gets stronger. And with the practice of things like mantra, you are developing your psychological organs. And that translates into the development of willpower, which is, again, what is necessary in order for us to block out unrelated matter and focus on a task at hand, how to have that one-pointedness of the mind. And these are all great exercises that are effortful. And then, of course, the next experience to that would be this effortful work of concentration becomes eventually this effortless flow state of meditation. Meditation is basically effortless.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get there without the effortful work of concentration. Otherwise, what you call meditation may actually be just a trance state where you're taking a conscious mind that is, say, for example, the size of a quarter and putting it in a different coordinate of consciousness, which isn't really all that hard to do. It's daydreaming, basically. When we fall asleep, the same thing happens. But a true meditative state is when the conscious mind is focused and it opens. And like we had said, now you access parts of the mind that actually do many things at once. And from that vantage point, that's what we call a meditative state. But your mind is definitely opened.
I've heard people talk about, like, they'll be driving down the road and all of a sudden they're pulling in their driveway and they don't remember how they got there. And they feel that it's because they were in this meditative state and that their mind was on autopilot type of thing. So is this the same thing that you're talking about, the mind in a different quadrant?
Exactly. That to me is a trance state. You were in a trance. That wasn't a meditative state, not in the true sense of the word. But for the most part, when you cross-examine, I mean, there are so many people who meditate, but they don't practice yoga. And by definition, meditation is the seventh stage of yoga. So there's a lot of preparatory work that must be in place before one actually meditates. And I think this is something that you're going to find is that there are so many misconceptions and self-deceptions in these what I call New Age communities today, and this celebrity pseudo-spiritualism that has actually contaminated our sense of spirituality, that, you know, people don't really have good leadership. People don't have the benefit of these ancient systems that have been codified. And so things are watered down, diluted, and marketed because they're more user-friendly and easier to sell. But true meditative state, like we said, is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. So there is quite a bit of preparatory work, and if you cross-examine it, your first niyama is purification. And so if you haven't purified the mind-body complex of its original sin, of its attachment to duality, and replaced it with a connection to the life force, then nothing really happens. You're identifying a lesser experience with this true mystical state of being. And that's what in the Yoga Sutras we call avidya, ignorance.
So if we use concentration in a meditative practice, so what you're saying is, so sitting in front of an altar, staring at a candle, isn't necessarily, you know, when I concentrate on that flame, isn't necessarily what's going to bring me into this meditative state using that method of concentration.
Yeah, I mean, if that's all you're doing, if you haven't employed yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, and you think that just staring at a candle is going to give you the same return, then I think you're in for a rude awakening. That, like we say, these eight stages of yoga are designed to be coordinated and orchestrated because they work together. And each one builds upon the other, and you don't know what it's going to bring you until you actually are enlisting all of it. And concentration is just such a wonderful exercise. And especially like we had said in the opening, we use the labyrinth, the Cretan labyrinth, which is an ancient tool that comes out of the two-part Greek philosophy, know thyself, nothing in excess. And part A of know thyself, we use the chakra system. Why reinvent the wheel? That this is a template for how our minds work, and that how these energy converters spin off into departments of our lives. And if the formula that you're working with is energy follows mind, then of course the more concentration that you employ, the more attention you give to a particular department in your life, the more energy you put into that. And if you're looking to balance your life, then of course you really want to focus on all your departments, because that's the origins of a lot of disease, is basically we're preoccupied with certain departments, and then of course there's neglect to other aspects. And it's that preoccupation that starts to produce this disease or imbalance. So the labyrinth gives you an organized way of looking at yourself in the way that you're created. And then also it gives you a way of distributing energy in a way that will affect balance. Because as we move from physical reality to astral mental reality to causal spiritual reality, they're on different timescales. And so if you notice in the Cretan labyrinth that certain paths in the labyrinth are bigger than others and certain paths are smaller, and to accommodate this, the difference in the time scale, basically. So the tool is just absolutely amazing. And when it is used on a regular basis, can really help you as an individual develop concentration, and at the same time this effortful work will start to expand into a meditative state, which means that you start to expand the conscious mind.
Okay, I'm glad you did mention about the labyrinth, because I did want to let our listeners know that we do have the labyrinth not only available at the ashram, these beautiful handmade labyrinths, but we actually do have them now available through Amazon, and as well as the labyrinth video. So if you are a Prime member on Amazon, you can actually listen to that via your Prime membership, and you can also rent it, as a matter of fact. So I think that could be a great tool for people, and it's easily accessible now to the masses. And don't forget, you can also actually purchase it as well and download it. And also available for our listeners too out there is the Asana program is now available on Amazon Video as well. So I did want to make that point to everybody. But it is that time. I do have to start closing down the program. So be sure to visit the website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and, of course, on Twitter and Facebook. And visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. You can post comments about this show or any ideas for future shows you may want us to do. Keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be discussing the services from Institute for Personal Development and really how are we going to benefit from those? What's in it for the initiate to practice all the services that we have, and explain what makes us different. So, Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to work on concentration and to do it with an understanding that it is effortful work, and that pressure is what changes coal to diamonds. Pressure is what enables hydraulics to lift your car. That pressure is not the enemy. That the whole thing of what we call stress can be used in ways that we can actually benefit from them. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.